Welcome to the You Can Tell the Children podcast, a place where sharing God's word with the next generation in your circle of influence can be simple, easy, and fun. We know that intentionally teaching children about God and the relevancy of his word will be a game changer in their homes, schools, and communities. This podcast is a ministry of Bible to School, experts in engaging children with the word of God. Together, we will make sure that you can tell the children about the love of Jesus. Ready, set, let's go. Welcome back to the You Can Tell the Children podcast, a ministry of Bible to School. I'm your host, Meredith Steidler, and this is episode 133. Elizabeth Urbanowitz, founder and CEO of Foundation Worldview, says that before we can introduce our children to who God is, they have to understand that truth is objective. It's outside of them. And this is the very reason Elizabeth recently authored the book, What is Truth?, with a target audience of preschoolers and their families. In our interview, we discuss the importance of this topic and how to practically teach it to the kids in our lives, no matter what their age. Do you have a passion, like Elizabeth, to ensure that children are being taught biblical truth? One easy way to do this is to start a Bible to School program in your community. Visit our website, Bible2School.com, that's Bible, the number 2, school.com, and click on the About Us tab to learn more. While you're on our website, go ahead and subscribe to this podcast and like Bible to School on Facebook and Instagram. Are you ready to learn how to teach children to discern truth? Get ready, lean in, and enjoy my conversation with Elizabeth now. Well, Elizabeth, welcome back to the You Can Tell the Children podcast. We are so glad to have you here today.
Oh, thanks so much for having me on again, Meredith. It's great to be with you.
So we are now 3 months into 2024, and we've been talking a good deal about small spiritual steps that we can take to grow our faith. Can you share just one goal that you set for yourself this year that you still have your sights on?
Yes. So in my church, I am working with discipling a high school student, and she and I made it our goal at the beginning of this year that we would memorize the first chapter in the book of James together. So we're making our way through the first chapter of James, and that is a goal that both of us have our eyes set on and we're holding one another accountable for. So it's been really fun to work towards that together.
That's wonderful. Do you do this verbally, like on the phone? Do you get together and walk and talk? How do you do that?
Yeah, good question. She comes over once a week and we'll have dinner together and we go through, we're also just going through a read through the Bible in a year plan together. And so we'll talk about what we've learned. And then each week we add one or two verses. And so we'll test one another on them and see how we're doing so far.
So good. I love that intentionality. That's really great. Mm-hmm. So you were here in September of 2022 sharing why and how you started the ministry called Foundation Worldview. But today, I'm excited to dig in because we're going to learn how to practically apply some of the tools you teach in your curriculum, starting with a simple question: what is truth? Speaking of which, I think it's fair to say you have a longstanding passion to help children learn what truth is. Would that be a fair assessment?
Yes, that would be. For your listeners who heard me on the previous podcast where you guys had me on, I just shared how my background is in elementary education. So I spent the first decade of my career in a classroom at a Christian school and just have a real passion for helping children understand what truth is. And it's such an important question, especially in today's culture. You know, we can ask kids in a Christian setting or even in a non-Christian setting, you know, this question about what truth is, because everything our children are going to be hearing is just this mantra that their internal subjective feelings are the most reliable guide to reality. And we know as Christians that, you know, God created us with our emotions as part of being designed in his image. However, on this side of Genesis 3, on this side of the fall, our emotions are not always and are often not an accurate indicator of what is true. So yes, I have a real burden to help children understand this concept of what is true and how do I seek out what is true.
That's so good. So you work full-time developing this curriculum that teaches that. Is that correct?
That is correct. Yes, I started off just by teaching the students in my own classroom these concepts. And then when word spread what was going on, everybody got excited about it. And people kept coming after me asking how they could get their hands on my resources. And I was like, I'm a third grade teacher, not a publishing house. But eventually, the Lord led me to step back from the classroom and start a ministry to equip other Christian adults to get children to understand these concepts.
The Lord is good.
Amen.
That's wonderful. So what is your, I think it's a mission statement. So you're preparing these kids to do what exactly?
So our short mission statement is just that all children would know truth. You know, that's what we're always asking ourselves as we're creating resources at Foundation Worldview. You know, is this meeting our goal? Are we preparing children to know the truth? And now some people might listen to that and say, you know, why isn't your mission that all children would know God? You know, and that's a really good question because ultimately, you know, we want our children to know God, to be reconciled in their relationship to God. And the reason that we have truth as our mission statement, you know, that all children would know what is true, because in this culture that teaches, you know, that our emotions are the most reliable guide to reality, we know as Christians, our emotions towards God change all the time. There are times we feel really close to God and really excited about seeking Him through His Word. There are times when we're very apathetic and we, you know, we don't really want to spend time in the Bible. We don't really want to spend time seeking God. There are other times when things happen and we're confused and we're angry at God, you know, and we're not even sure that He's there. And so before we can even really introduce our children to who God is, they have to have this foundation of understanding that truth is objective. It is outside of them, that either God exists or He does not exist. And if He exists, we have to know who He really is. And so that's why we start with this baseline of truth, because it's a necessary building block for helping our children understand who God is.
Amen. We have so many people come and talk on the podcast about our identity in Christ, because that's the truth of the matter. Understanding truth and then our identity, they come hand in hand. Our slogan actually at Bible to School is similar, and it's teaching truth, inspiring hope. So we're right with you.
Love it.
Yeah. And we want to be sure kids are equipped like you guys to stand firm and live out their faith, which I know you teach discipleship. So I think this question is already answered, but I'm just going to ask, do you think it is possible to raise children in this generation to stand firm?
Oh, absolutely. you know, because Jesus has told us, you know, that He is building His kingdom, you know, on this confession that He is the Christ, you know, that He is the Son of God, and that the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And that is true in all generations. You know, what you and I are doing, praise the Lord that God has given us this gift of investing in the next generation. But you know what? Even if you and I weren't doing what we're doing, the gospel is still going to move forward. So is raising children who, you know, love God, who are discerning, who are standing on the truth, is it a little bit more complicated in this culture that's so loud and fast-paced? Yes, it is. In many ways, it's more complicated than it was in previous generations, but it is never impossible because God has given us His Word, He's given us His Spirit, and He's given us His church.
Amen. And nothing is impossible with Him.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Well, you and your team focus on teaching, obviously, truth, which ultimately is creating tiny apologetics in these kids. So, which is critical and foundational, just like the title of your ministry, Foundation Worldview. So how do we, though, actually practically do this? Where do we start?
Yes, that's a great question. And I love that you asked this question, because we can talk all day, you know, about theory and like, can we do this? Yes, we can. But if we don't talk about the nitty gritty of like, okay, how do we do this? It's kind of pointless because we don't want to get people just excited about something without providing any practical tools. And so the first thing that we tell people is we need to think about, you know, what is the age of the children that God has placed, or the ages of the children that God has placed in our care? Because we have to really understand, how did God design them? And how did God design their mind to learn specifically in this phase? And so at Foundation Worldview, we do focus a lot of our time on children ages 4 to 7. And in that age, you need to get kids' bodies involved, because that's just how God's designed them. He's designed them to be more kinesthetic or physical learners. So what we do at Foundation Worldview to teach truth is we say, okay, we're going to give kids some sentences. And if the sentence that we say is true, they're going to spread out their arms and say true. And if we say a sentence that's not true, they're going to cross their arms like an X and say, not true. And then we just give them some fun sentences, you know, like puppies are baby dogs. Yep, that's true. Puppies run on the ceiling. Oh my goodness, that's so silly. That's not true. And then it becomes a game to just help create in these little ones' minds the categories of true and not true. With older kids, like kids ages 8 to 10 or 8 to 12, we say, well, they're very relational. So you need to do something that has to do with a relationship. For that, we'll send kids out on a treasure hunt and we'll say, okay, you're going to work in pairs and you're going to go out and you're going to try to find this treasure. And here's the directions to it. And what they find is that only one group of kids actually has the true instructions, the instructions that line up with what is real. And so after they've had this experience, this relational experience, we come back together and we debrief, you know, why didn't you find the prize? Why did only one group find the prize? Because only one group had the true instructions. And then with older kids, you know, when they're very, you know, they've learned to reason better and they can make quick judgments, we'll do something similar and we'll teach them, you know, like we'll just give them different sentences and say, okay, is this true? Is this not true? How do you know? So we just want to think, what is the age of this child or these children God has placed in my care? How has God designed them? And how can I do this best? So with little ones, again, get their bodies physically involved. With a little bit older ones, get them relationally engaged. And with older ones, help build on their reasoning skills that they already have. So that's just a really quick shot of how we can do this practically.
No, that's great. I love that. And your curriculum, I believe, like you said, you focus on ages 4 to 7, but you do have stuff for higher age groups as well, correct?
Yes, we have curriculum for 3 different ages. We call it 4+, 8+, and then 10+. So yeah, so we have curriculum for all those different ages.
Well, I want to kind of rewind back to when you were talking about the ages 4 to 7, because you recently released a really cool book that goes into a little bit more fun detail with what you were saying with using body and understanding what is truth in simple terms. Mm-hmm. Do you want to talk about that a little bit?
Yes. Oh yeah. You have a copy. I do as well. So it's a book called What is Truth? And it's just a picture book. It's very playful. We have 2 fluffy little characters in there that just take little ones on an adventure, on a journey of discerning what is true and what is not true. And so what we did as a team is we came together and we had everybody pull out the children's books that their kids were most drawn to. And we looked at all the kids' books that they were most drawn to. And we were like, okay, what are the common characteristics of these books? And so we found some common characteristics and then tried to include those things in this book, you know, making it very engaging and interactive. So this is a book that you're going to want to sit on the sofa with a child and read, but the child isn't just going to sit there passively. They are going to have their bodies involved. So the characters take them on this journey of they give them some fun sentences and the kids have to discern, is this true? And if it's true, they have to jump up and spread out their arms and say true. And if it's not true, they cross their arms like an X and say not true. And we tried to make it just really fun. For example, like some of our not true sentences are things that are silly, like snow is very hot. And we have a picture of a snowman who's on fire. Or even for our true ones, we tried to make them fun. Like we said, water is wet. And we have a picture, you know, of one character wetting another one down with a hose. And so just to get kids engaged imaginatively and playfully, but to help create in their minds these mental categories of true and not true.
That's great. So what type of conversations are you hoping parents and caregivers will have with their kids after going through the book?
Yeah, that's another great question that I love, because that is exactly the purpose of this book. You know, like we don't want it to end once the pages have been closed. We want it to be an ongoing conversation. And so our goal with this is that this would just become the paradigm, the framework through which kids view everything. Is this true or is this not true? So we want the game to continue. We have other resources available in the book. There's a place you can go to get like a coloring sheet and some other activities. And so we encourage parents to continue playing that game, you know, to make up other true and not true sentences. So we're hoping that when kids are in the car, you know, normally when they're like, let's play, I'm thinking of an animal or I spy, that they'll say, let's play the true or not true game. So that they continue the game, and then that it will come up in everyday conversations. You know, when they're watching a show on Disney+, you know, or on YouTube, that when somebody says something, that they'll stop and ask themselves, was that true or was that not true? How do I know? So it's just setting this framework for discerning truth from error for the rest of the days of their lives.
So hopefully it'll come naturally by the time they're middle school, teetering on high school, when they hear a song lyric or they see a movie or a show, that they can say, is this true or not true? And hopefully it's obvious, but sometimes it's not, because we know oftentimes the truth and almost truth can be like this, very close. So hopefully if through the years they're learning truth, untruth, now at that point, they're able to dig and research, right? And uncover with those tools already as their base foundation, hopefully.
Absolutely. That is the ultimate goal, the long-term goal.
Yeah, for sure. So what are some tools that help kids discern when emotions, because you're talking a lot about our feelings, which is a great whole other topic, but how do we have tools, practical tools that will point them to truth when their emotions get tricky and deceive them?
Yes. And that is so important because as we've already talked through a little bit in this podcast, just this general cultural lie that's not so much openly stated, but just is assumed and is undergirding everything in our culture is just this false belief that our inner emotional world is the most reliable guide to reality. And so you have correctly identified that teaching kids the difference between emotions that point them to truth and emotions that point them away from truth is the next step. So we actually, as we're recording this podcast, our second book, we're on the cusp of releasing a second book, which is Our Feelings Truths, with teaching kids the next step, because it's really important for kids to be able to identify their feelings. And you know, you and I know, anybody listening knows that we can't always control what we're feeling. You know, emotions arise inside of us and they can feel really big and they can feel really overwhelming. And so what we teach kids in our curriculums and then in this next book is to ask, is this feeling pointing me towards the truth or is it pointing me away from the truth? There's this sentence that I love that's in, I don't know if you're familiar with Mama Bear Apologetics, but in their first book, in the Mama Bear Apologetics first book, they have this sentence where they said, emotions are a wonderful check engine light, but a terrible GPS. You know, so we want to train our kids to discern their emotions rather than being led by their emotions or negating their emotions. You know, the answer to not being led by your emotions is not to stuff them down, but it's to actually discern them. And so with little ones, the next step that we do is we play that true versus not true game, but we add in a third category, which is feelings. And we'll say, okay, if we say a sentence that's about feelings, I want you to hug yourself and say feeling, you know, so then we'll add in some sentences like Mondays are the worst or puppies are fun, you know, things that like people's feelings are going to change based on their preferences. And then with older kids, what we do is we give them situations and we say, okay, did this feeling point someone towards the truth or did it point them away from the truth? And we give them situations, you know, where feelings do point to the truth. You know, when we see an injustice, we'll give, you know, a simple situation like, a big kid on the playground steals your jump rope, you know, and you feel angry. So you go get a recess monitor. You know, did that feeling point you toward the truth or away from it? It pointed you towards the truth that you needed to go get someone who could enact justice because that wasn't right. Where there might be a feeling that leads you to believe that the best thing you should do is should walk up to that big kid and punch them. Well, that feeling pointed you away from the truth. You know, at first it was pointing you to the truth that something was wrong, but then it led you away from the truth, thinking that it was your job to go and hurt this person. And so we just want to give kids these examples so that they're able to think like, okay, I'm feeling this really, really big feeling. Okay, is this feeling being used to point me towards what is true? Or is it being used to point me away from what is true? Because that is so important, even for us as adults.
I was just going to say, I need to do this because, you know, what is that scripture that says that we should constantly be renewing our minds so that we can discern God's good, perfect, and pleasing will?
Yes.
I mean, we need to be renewing our minds as adults because I mean, check engine light goes off for me often enough. And I want to make sure that I am seeing it as a check my engine and not a react. Like, I don't want to react. That is bad.
Yes.
So that is so good. This must be a popular topic because Josh and Christy Straub recently came out with a book on emotions. And that's been talked a lot about in the podcast world. So I'm excited for your book to come out.
Thanks. We're excited too.
Yeah, I bet. When can we look for that?
So we're hoping that this, you know, things usually take longer than anticipated. So I think July of 2024 is probably a safe bet. We're hoping for before then, but hopefully at least by July.
Let's pause right now and take a question from one of our Bible to School kids.
How do we know if the Bible is really true?
Well, let's think of how we know other things are true. We trust in eyewitness accounts, things we can test over and over and achieve the same result, and things we have personally experienced. Now, in thinking about the Bible, it is filled with eyewitness accounts, some from multiple people who say the same thing happened. We see evidence that what the Bible says will happen really happens, like all the Old Testament prophecies about Jesus and his birth. And believers can testify of God's peace and love in situations where they would otherwise be prone to anger and hate. What is astonishing is the Bible is God's inspired words written by human hands over hundreds of years by different writers. And it all fits together so perfectly. Only God could have authored it and made it possible. That's how we know the Bible is really true.
Well, this is actually a great lead-in to one of the questions I wanted to ask that's more geared towards the bigger kids. But you talk about false gospels, and I am curious, especially with my own personal life. I have kids who are teens now. Mm-hmm. And how do we help them point out, like, first of all, what is a false gospel? And how do we help them identify it and discern the difference?
Yeah. So a gospel, you know, gospel just means in Greek, it means the good news. And so the good news is the solution to what is wrong. And so right now in our world, there are so many different solutions that are offered for what is the problem. Because as humans, we just know something is wrong. Okay. Things are not working as they should. Everybody just knows that. And so I think something that's really important for us to train our kids to ask is, okay, first, what is the problem? And then what is the solution? So anytime our kids hear something, they should be asking themselves, okay, what is this person is saying is the root problem? And then what is the solution? And now I'll give one, an example that's just a popular culture one from like about 2 years ago, but I think is really relevant. So about 2 years ago, the movie Encanto, Disney's latest, you know, kids cartoon musical was released. And so Encanto is preaching a gospel. Now, don't get me wrong. I enjoyed the movie, love the music. You know, it's super catchy, like most of Disney's musicals. But when you think about the storyline in that movie, the problem, what is the main problem in that movie? It's that the grandmother is not allowing her grandchildren to just be themselves, that she has certain rules and restrictions, and she is not letting her grandchildren create what they want and be what they want. You know, that's why Bruno, who nobody talks about, goes into hiding because he thinks, you know, that he's destroying everything. And so what is the solution at the end? What is the gospel? What is the good news? Is that the grandmother realizes that she just needs to accept her children and her grandchildren as they are. And so while loving one another is a really good message, that movie in and of itself is a false gospel, saying that your biggest problem is those in your life who do not accept you just as you are. And so the solution is you help them recognize how valuable and necessary you are, then they'll love you and accept you just as you are. And the problem is solved.
Which sounds really great, right? If we're not digging. Yeah.
It does. And it does have a kernel of truth in that God loves us unconditionally, you know, that he sent Jesus and he will continue loving us no matter what. And that's what parents are called to do. But unconditional love does not equal unconditional acceptance, which that's what this movie teaches. And so that's just something if we can train our kids to ask anytime they're watching a movie, listening to a song, in a conversation, reading a book, ask, what is the problem as it's presented in this whatever, you know, I'm dealing with? And then what is the solution? And then comparing and contrasting that with what is presented in Scripture. Because in Scripture, the problem is our sin, that we have inherited our sin nature from Adam and we choose to sin every day. And no amount of good works can atone for that sin, nor can we fix ourselves. We can't unbreak ourselves. And so the only solution is Jesus's life, death, and resurrection, his atoning work, and then his regenerating work in our lives where he brings us to life and empowers us through his Holy Spirit to live as we are called to live. And so if we can train our kids to ask those questions and then compare and contrast, we're setting them hopefully on a trajectory of being able to discern the true gospel from false gospels.
Right, which is why it's so important to have these conversations starting young, but then continuing on throughout, because listen, we're just going to get more tricky cultural issues stemming.
Absolutely.
Each year, it's just going to get trickier and trickier. And as they get older, they're going to have so many more outside influences. So to me, I think conversation is and communication is probably one of the most important things, which leads me to ask, you know, what do you have to say to those parents, which I have been guilty, but who just really want to shelter their kids from these issues? I mean, what's the danger in that? Or is it okay? What do you say to that?
Yeah, that's a question that I think requires a lot of discernment that we need to think through. Okay, what are the things that are just like vile that we need to keep our kids away from? For example, pornography. Okay, we need to have protection on all our devices. We need to prepare our children because that is something our children should not be exposed to it, and we just want to keep them completely from. You know, that would be kind of like shoving our kids in the tuberculosis ward at the hospital, okay? Like, we don't want to do that because they're going to get sick. However, there are other situations in which if our kids are exposed to untrue ideas in small doses, when we can help them evaluate these ideas, what that's going to do is that's going to strengthen them. Kind of like when they get exposed, you know, just to germs here and there, you know, we're not having somebody cough in their face, but we're just, you know, we're going to corporate worship on Sunday. You know, we're getting exposed to lots of different people. You know, we're going to school or we're going, you know, going here, going there. When they get exposed to germs in smaller doses, you know, their immune system then becomes prepared to fight them. So if we allow, you know, certain movies in our house, if we allow certain books, if we allow certain YouTube channels while we are there to help guide our kids through, what we're hopefully doing is building up their natural immunity to those bad ideas. And so that's what I would encourage parents, you know, just to really be intentional at discerning what are things that we just need to keep completely out of our household, you know, things that completely contradict God. You know, that we just need to prepare our kids to say, you need to say no to this because this is wrong. And then what are the things where we're like, you know what, this is not what's best for my child, but they are going to encounter this in the world. So preparing them to encounter this is best. And so just to recognize that protection does not equal complete isolation. It equals preparation.
Such wisdom. That's a quotable. Thank you. Before we close, I recently came across your podcast. I didn't know that existed until I was on your website. And I listened to this episode on kids playing in the neighborhood. And I have to tell you, God in his perfect timing, it helped me in a current struggle our family is going through. And so I just love, we don't have time to get into it, but I'd love for you to tell our audience a little about this resource.
Yeah. So we have a podcast that comes out on Tuesdays and Thursdays, and people write in questions and we answer them. We try to answer them in under 20 minutes because we know that parents are very busy. And so it's just a resource where we try to provide practical, biblically based wisdom and answers to questions that parents are really facing in real time.
Yeah. Awesome. I loved it. Thank you. And I'm sure our listeners will too. So we'll link that in the show notes then so they can easily access. Yeah. Well, Elizabeth, the time was quick and short, and I'm sad to say goodbye, but thank you for sharing your wisdom. And I would just love it. Would you bless our listeners by closing us in prayer?
Honored. Thanks, Meredith. Father, we thank you for who you are. We thank you for sending Jesus, for reconciling us to yourself, Lord. I just pray over each and every one of the listeners, Lord. I ask that you would be encouraging them and strengthening them. Lord, I ask that they would be firmly grounded in your word. You would just stir the affections of their heart towards you. And I ask ultimately, Lord, that the result of all of this would be that they would faithfully disciple the children that you have placed in their care. I just pray for protection over these children, Lord, that you would keep them from the enemy and that you would equip them to understand who you are, to know you, to love you, and to trust you. We love you, Lord, and pray all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. I love the theme throughout this conversation that we can do better than protect our children. We can prepare them. Exposing kids to untrue ideas in small doses when we can help them evaluate these ideas. It strengthens them. We are building up their natural immunity to fight those untrue ideas. What were your thoughts on today's episode? Was it helpful? We'd love to hear from you. So if you haven't already, like Bible to School on Facebook and Instagram and engage with our posts. You'll also want to check out today's show notes to find the resources we spoke of and to learn more about Foundation Worldview. Thanks so much for learning more with me today, friends. And I look forward to doing more of the same next week. Until then, remember, you can tell the children in your life how to discern truth.